This will not be a typical lecture or message. I feel that one of the most effective ways to communicate the quiet time is to have group interaction. And so that's basically what we're going to do. You're going to have your own message. You will be the message this morning, and you will participate in the message as we begin to discuss some of these things. Back in 1962, April of 1962, Nancy and I came to Christ in Canada through the work of a church. My brother-in-law and sister introduced us to a congregation up there. And we met the Lord. And then about a year later, we met this organization called the Navigators. Had no idea what they were all about, but immediately was attracted to certain things that I saw in the lives of the men and women who called themselves navigators. In fact, we went to our first conference in the fall of 1963 up in Guelph, Ontario, a little wee town outside of the city of Toronto. And one of the speakers that weekend was Jim White. Jim and his wife, Jerry, are in our counseling department over here and work with the staff throughout the United States in the area of counseling. Works with George Sanchez. At that conference, Jim White asked me, would you like to have a quiet time together? Now, you have to realize that for about a year, I had struggled in the Christian life. I knew I was in the kingdom, and I knew that God wanted to use my life, and I was trying to be effective. But as far as the disciplines in the Christian life were concerned, I had no idea what they were or how to apply them to my life. And Jim asked me if I would like to have a quiet time with him, and I said, sure. And he said, well, why don't you come over tomorrow morning about 6 o'clock to my room, and we'll meet together. And I thought, well, that's crazy, man. 6 o'clock in the morning, that is too early for anybody to be up and awake. And but nevertheless, I thought, you know, I had to put on this good front and show him that I was a key man and really gung-ho and all that stuff. And I said, sure, I'll come and I'll meet with you. I must admit that that half hour probably revolutionized my Christian life at that point. In fact, I know it did. Jim opened up the Bible. We read in the Psalms. We discussed several things. It was a very kind of a low-profile type deal. You know, he didn't sit there and wave his finger, but he asked a couple of questions, and we just shared the word together. And then we got down on our knees and we prayed. Now, up until that time, I had heard prayers, and I had been with people who prayed. But I don't think I had been with anybody who came so close to God in terms of his communication and his reaching out and his soul searching. And that little half hour time, the quiet time, really began there for me. I realized that this was a man who had cultivated a relationship with the living God, the kind of relationship that I wanted to have. And it was highly motivating. See, he could have sat down and talked to me about the quiet time and how to have one and give me all the information and so on. But he did that which was much better. He gave me a model. He had one with me. And so for me, if you really want to get motivated in the quiet time, find somebody who's been consistent at it for the last year or several years and ask them if you could have a quiet time with them. And that will do more to teach people how to have one than anything else I know of. So that was the beginning. I'd say as I look back in my, 14 years of being around the Navigators, that if I were only to do these two things that I'm going to suggest to you, that would be enough to make me fruitful and successful in my relationship with God and in the ministry. Two very basic things. Number one is to establish a consistent, meaningful quiet time. And number two, memorize Scripture. Very simple. Now you say, well, man, we've heard all that before. But it's like that book that Jay Adams that was handed out to you at the registration, Godliness Through Discipline. I tried that once. See, the thing is, we need to be reminded, don't we? Now, some of you have been coming to these conferences for years. Years upon years. In fact, if you added them all up, you'd probably be amazed at the number of years, the total number of conferences that have been attended by this group of people. But you know why we come together? Not necessarily to learn anything new, although I'm sure that that will take place this week, but to remind one another, to exhort one another, to encourage one another in the things that we count basic to the Christian life. And so if you've come this week and you're expecting a whole bunch of new information, I'm afraid you might be disappointed. Because I know navigator conferences and I know navigators. And they're pretty basic people. I wouldn't want to say simple, but they're pretty basic. That's what we're going to do this morning, the quiet time. I'd like you to take just a couple of minutes right now and write out, and if you don't have some paper and a piece of note paper, just lean over to the person who's got that notebook open beside you and they'll have a piece of paper for you and a notebook. I would like you to write a one-sentence definition of the quiet time. What is a quiet time? Just very quickly, one sentence. Not why is it necessary, but what is a quiet time? Okay? Now, would you share some of those definitions with us, please? What is a quiet time? What's your definition of a quiet time? I'll wait for volunteers. Okay. Time alone with God. What else? Meditation on the Word.
A time of isolation from, but in the world, to listen to God and to praise and ask Him things.
Isolation, praise. Okay.
Meaningful experience with.
A meaningful, yeah, boy, I like that word. Because we can sure do it and it not be meaningful. Meaningful. Excuse me, teachers. My kids just went back to school today.
Developing a relationship with God.
Developing a relationship. That's another word that I really like. Okay, what else?
God talking to me and me talking to God.
Okay. Two-way communication, right? Yeah, the CB type. Okay, I think you get the general idea. But basically, we could probably boil it down to meaningful, isolated communion with God. And it's a two-way street. Now what I'd like you to do is just take a moment. And if you have your husband or wife sitting next to you, I'd like you to do this together. If not, just take somebody who's sitting beside you who's by themselves. And I would like you to list 6 reasons why it is necessary to have a quiet time. 6 reasons, and you can discuss it together, the two of you. Come up with 6 reasons why it's necessary to have a quiet time. The 6 most important, okay? Okay, now out of those 6, I want you to prioritize them and come up with the top 3. And you fight and defend your... You gals, don't give in to them, okay? You tell them that yours is just as important, but I want the top 3. Okay? Now, would you give me your top 3?
God desires it.
Okay.
Meditation, quietness, from our standpoint. We didn't have a word there.
Meditation and just quiet, waiting on God, okay? Let's do it that way.
Probably has priority 1, to praise and honor the Lord, that is to seek His face.
To praise and honor and seek. Good. Okay, give me some more priority 1s and 2s.
Guidance.
Okay, to seek guidance. Ooh, you struck my know Him. Okay. Wow. Okay, to become like Him. As we reflect on Him and to glorify God. Yeah, I would say that that probably came out in this, the word
stability.
Yeah. Stability and perspective on life.
Sharing our heart.
I'm sorry.
To share your heart.
sharing our heart, yeah, with Him. That's a staggering thought, isn't it? That we can share our hearts with the living God. Ooh. You've read the book. That's right. Develops a discipline. Well, I'm sure there are... go ahead.
Point out sin in my life.
Point out sin, right. Just to reflect on the Word and on God and to let Him point out sin in our lives so that we can change. Become intimate with Him. Right. Become acquainted with Him and develop. That's a developing thing, isn't it? That intimacy with God. Okay, well, I'm sure there are as many good reasons as there are people in this room, but I think you can get the idea. A couple of things that came to my mind as I thought about the necessity, and it might be because of the nature of myself, the way that I'm wired up, and I suppose in some ways it's selfishness, but I think of Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now that passage is in the area of provision for the necessities of life. But I think of it beyond the food and clothing part of it. I think of it in terms of that inner stability and peace. "But seek ye first His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." To me, the reward of seeking God. And I think the same thing comes out in Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God and believeth that He is will reward those who diligently seek Him." There's reward. Now, not necessarily material reward, but spiritual reward for those who will be diligent in their seeking of God. And I believe that the converse is true. That if you're not willing to be diligent and to discipline your life and to seek God, then He won't bless your life. Not in the material sense, but in the spiritual sense. And there'll always be that inner haunting, that inner hollowness, if you're not willing to come to grips with the reality that the Christian life is made up of discipline. Certain disciplines, not legalistic things, but there are certain disciplines that if I apply them to my life, I will grow in an intimate, meaningful relationship with the living God. And if I neglect and ignore those things, then I'll always have that haunting, hollow feeling that I'm missing out and I'm just not quite making contact with the living God. And I've said this before, I wish there were an easier way. I wish that we could dispense through our coffee spiritual pills or whatever, and that you could all just kind of take a pill this week and go home and then only have to get it recharged once a year. And then eventually we'd come up with a pill that, you know, you just take one for all time. But that's not the way the Christian life is made up. And you'll find as you continue to walk with God and seek His face, that discipline is at the center and the core of things. And I don't care how long you've been around, how many conferences you've been to, you have the same struggle today that the rest of us have. And that is to live life by meaningful priorities. That's really what life is all about, isn't it? We can let life dictate itself to us, or we can eventually get it under control by living by meaningful priorities. By biblical priorities would be a better word. And as far as I'm concerned, the number one injunction on any man or any woman's life is to seek God first. Period. Okay? Let's go on to how to have one. A while back, let's see, about, I guess it's almost 2.5 years ago now, I was out involved in a local church in Chicago. And I had my eye on a young man, a young engineer, that just he and his wife, there was that kind of a click, that charisma between us as couples, and particularly wanted to get to know him better. So I invited him to go for lunch. In fact, I invited him several times to have lunch with me. And we began to talk about spiritual things and about the church. And of course, that was our center focus since we were both involved in that particular church. And he was about 3 years old in the Lord. Very aggressive young guy. Wanted to introduce all kinds of new programs and so on and so forth. And a real hunger to minister to people. And as we discussed one lunch, he asked me, he said, "Now I want you to teach me everything you know about helping people. How do you do this thing you guys call follow-up or whatever that is?" So I began to share with him, and I guess we spent probably an hour and a half, and I laid out some growth principles on how to help a person and so on and so forth. And just as we were getting up to leave, the Lord prompted me. I said, "You know, Bill, it's just dawned on me that I've never asked you one of the most essential questions that I usually ask everybody that I work with and begin to help. And that is, are you having a meaningful, vital, quiet time?" He said, "A what?" And I realized that, you know, here I had gone to the thing which is easiest for most of us, and that is to teach, you know, people how to work with other people. And yet I had missed the essential thing on just giving this guy some growth principles. So I said, "Sit down for a minute," back down in that seat. And I began to outline to him what it meant to be victorious in the quiet time and how to have one. We discussed and shared that together. And then we would meet. He was meeting with a group of other businessmen that I was meeting with. And we would meet two mornings a week, Monday and Friday mornings at about 6 o'clock. And we would discuss these things. And we would check one another. And I shared all of the principles of a consistent quiet time. And basically, there are four. Just very, very simple. And you've heard them before, probably. But how to have a successful quiet time. First of all, you need to have a time. When are you going to do it? I have heard, and I must admit my red hair stands on end when I hear it justified that, "Well, I don't really have a time set aside. I just get it on the run and, you know, I'm consistent at it." Well, I think that that kind of a bird is a very rare, rare bird. In fact, he's like the eagles down here. Very hard to find that eagle when you're looking for him. I find that hard to believe that a man or woman can get a quiet time on the run. Now, true, most of us from time to time do have to hit it on the run. But if that's the consistent pattern of your life, I would suggest that your quiet time is probably pretty shallow. And that as a principle of life, you want to set aside a time. And I don't particularly care when you get it. I think most of us have probably experienced that early morning, and the earlier the better, as far as the early part of our day, is the best time. Because if you push it off into the afternoon or the evening, the chances are that other things begin to crowd in and it gets squeezed out. But there are many people who have been successful at having it at lunchtime or any other time of the day. But I think you would all recognize the necessity for a time and to nail it down in your schedule. See, that's living by priorities, isn't it? Rather than just letting the world squeeze you into its mold. And you take each day as it comes, and boy, it sure comes, doesn't it? It comes and it goes. And you end up at the end of the day and you're tired and you think, "Good night. Now I missed it again today." So first principle is a time. When are you going to have it? Second principle is a place. Where? You know, and if you procrastinate and you don't have that nailed down, you can spend all kinds of time just wasting time getting to the place you're going to have it. And I'm that way. I'm a great procrastinator. I can go down and I sit down at the breakfast table and get the coffee out early in the morning and just sit there and look out the window. And it's a beautiful quiet time. Didn't make contact with God, but it's a beautiful quiet time. But whereas if I have set up the evening before down on my desk, you know, my Bible, my devotional diary, and whatever, then that morning I go down, I put on the coffee, and I grab that cup of coffee, and I head right down to the pit, and I sit down there. Boy, there's just something in that, a place. And let me suggest to you men and women, separate that place from your business. Particularly, I don't know whether many of you operate in your homes, but I usually operate my office out of my home. And my problem was that I would go down and I would begin to have that quiet time, and then I'd look at the in basket. Then I'd look at the bills to be paid and all that other stuff, and pretty soon the distractions were just too great. So I built myself a little table, has no drawers in it, just a nice blank table. I can put my Bible down there, my Bible study materials, whatever else I want. And I go and sit down there, I know that the purpose of that place is to have a meaningful contact with God. Don't go to a place that's confusing, particularly you gals. Get a place that's where you can go consistently, you can keep your Bible and your devotional diary, and away from the distractions. A plan. A time, a place, and a plan. What are you going to do? Are you going to get there like I do? Our house in Chicago, by the way, backed onto a beautiful bean field. And it was fun, you know, in the spring the farmer would get out there and he'd work that ground, and then I could sit, and I traveled enough so that it almost, you know, by the time I got back, they would have grown 2 or 4 inches, and I would sit there and admire how those things had, and like I said, it was a quiet time. Not very meaningful, but it was a quiet time. What's your plan? And again, not to be legalistic, but a plan, I work on about a 1 month plan. This, for instance, the last 3 months, I've been working out of this devotional diary. I'll say more about this a little later on. But that's the thing I've been doing for the last 2 or 3 months. There have been some months when I use my scripture memory program as my quiet time. I review verses. You say, well, that's not legitimate. Well, I don't know. I don't see the Bible says what's legitimate or what isn't, you know. These verses happen to be the key passages on certain subjects throughout the Bible. I couldn't think of anything more meaningful to do in a quiet time than to spend time meditating on a couple of these verses on the same subject. And besides, it helps you get your review done. Bible study. I have done at times, I've taken, when I know I'm going to be home for a period of time and I'm behind in my Bible study program, I have set aside an hour and include that as my quiet time. And I do Bible study, personal Bible study during that time. And a variety of different things, because it does enhance your Christian discipline if you have variety in it. But don't go week after week and month after month without knowing, at least for this month, you're doing thus and so. A plan. And of course, it, needless to say it, but in that plan you have the Bible and prayer. Okay, that's the component parts of the plan. I don't care how you do it, as long as you include the Bible and prayer. And then fourthly, and the thing that was key and was mentioned over in this side of the room, a practice or a discipline. You have a time, a place, a plan, and then you practice. And you know, in the early days, I must admit that my quiet time, in fact, probably for the first couple of years of my involvement around the Navigators, my quiet time was somewhat mechanical. But then as I've grown and matured, I find now that when I miss a quiet time, there's something missing in my life. And I just naturally gravitate back to that discipline which has been built in over a period of about 14 years. I still have to struggle sometimes, and I still have to rebuke myself, and I still have to come to a conference sometime and have somebody speak to me about the quiet time to get me motivated and to get back on track. But generally speaking, over a period of years, because of the consistent practice, I would say that the quiet time is a built-in discipline in my life. And I think you'll find the same thing to be true. It's really interesting, this young engineer that I was telling you about, I met in my church, as we have worked together for the last year and a half. And all I did was concentrate on two things with him, the quiet time and scripture memory. Now, he was in a Bible study, but that was almost secondary. We worked on the quiet time and scripture memory. Now, that young man is one of the most fruitful young guys I've been around a long time. And as far as changing his whole lifestyle in a period of about a year and a half, he and his wife, their entire lifestyle has been revolutionized. And they are effective Christians today. And not because of me, but because we passed on these two little secrets to the successful Christian life, the quiet time and scripture memory. Okay, now, the fourth thing And perhaps this will be the most meaningful for you today. Problems. I would like you to take just a minute, and each one of you, write down the two greatest problems that you've been having in the area of the quiet time in the last 6 months. What's been the most difficult? What problems are you encountering? And be honest, okay? If your greatest problem is that you're not having one, then be honest. That's a problem. Put down the two greatest problems that you've been having in the area of the quiet time in the last 6 months. Okay? What are some of those problems?
Getting up.
An honest man. Getting up. Okay, good.
Concentration.
Distractions.
Especially when you have a family.
Oh, do they really distract? Distraction. I.e., kids. I'm sorry?
Dogs.
Dogs? Your dogs are a distraction? Okay. You're going to the dogs, George. Ooh, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's see. Other good things. And I want to be careful to say it that way, but there is a difference between the essential and the good. Okay. Yeah. So it's reinforcing the wrong habits, so to speak. Yeah, that's a good point. And I do the same thing. You know, I'm roaring around and you get so, particularly when I travel, I find that my schedule on the road is just full from morning till night. And in good things, I'm counseling people, teaching, all that good stuff. And all of a sudden, about 3 or 4 days later, I crash and I wonder why somebody unscrewed my big toes and emotionally and spiritually I'm depleted. And I realize, hey, I just haven't had meaningful contact with God. And yet I got through that time okay.
Finding time.
Okay, that's good. Finding time. And I suppose this would be particularly true for gals with preschoolers. Because my experience with preschoolers is that they hit the floor running, you know, as soon as they're up, and it's just kind of run along behind them. Yeah. Okay. Living by priorities. Okay. Meaningful. I appreciate that. How do you really... Okay, now you discussion group leaders, I'd like you to make sure that you pick up on that, okay? In the discussion right following this meeting, I'd like you to pick up on some practical ways to have that meaningful contact. Every one of you, if you could just discuss that. I don't know what else you're discussing in that group, but if you would pick up on that one, I'd appreciate it. Okay, other problems? Application. Yeah. You know, I think this one here, by the way, can be a real problem for people who have been around the Navigators for a considerable amount of time. You know why? Because you're in a Bible study, and there's application demanded out of that Bible study. You've been to conferences, and you've got 15 applications backed up on the do list that you haven't quite got to from, and pretty soon we've become guilt-ridden. And I think we need to really watch this, because this is the area that we can enter into the legalism thing very quickly and very easily. I personally don't make a whole lot of application out of my quiet time unless God just comes roaring out of the pages and clobbers me on some particular thing. Because what I want to do is spend that time in praise, in honor, in glorifying God. And if there's nothing there, you know, except a good meditative thought throughout the day, then that's fine. I'm very, very happy with that. But this is a real, and again, the discussion group leaders might want to pick up on that. Okay, some other problems.
Why did you just
may have been thought throughout the day. I have a thought and I've either written it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a period. It seems like comes the next morning, well, what was I thinking about yesterday?
Yeah.
I don't know whether you call it exercise or not. Really.
Yeah, I think the key to me in having a quiet time is getting the pen and the pencil and writing something down. I have a diary, a notebook diary, that I take with me on my travels and at home. And then also, I've been working out of this book recently. I think these things are just absolutely fantastic. You know why? Because it's my plan, it's my diary, and it's all contained in one thing. I get up, and first thing in the morning, I just have to go over here, and it says, read Proverbs 8, 22 to 32. How many are working out of this right now? Very good. Nobody. This is to the bookstore. Order up a whole bunch. But I can go right to the little listing for the day. And then over here, it causes you to have to write, and there's some application and some thoughts there. It's very brief. You can do this little exercise in about, 5 to 10 minutes at the most. For busy people and undisciplined people, this is a good starting place. And I consider myself a busy person and an undisciplined person, and therefore I work out of this particular thing. By the way, let me just go through these. In the bookstore, and we're not in the business of selling materials for profit, although we do that. We're in the business. Well, I want to be honest with you. But we are in the business of providing tools for the Christian life. And you'll find that all of these are tools. This one is a little one for those of you that are just beginning. 7 minutes with God. Now, I don't think there's anybody that can't afford 7 minutes with God. It's a little devotional thing. It gets you into the very basics of a quiet time. Don't be embarrassed to go in and purchase one for yourself. If you're having some difficulties and you're wondering where to get started, that's an excellent one. This one is kind of a little, you know, this is the sophomore. You're going to graduate. The secret of the successful Christian life lies in the quiet time, those sacred moments of the day when the Christian communes with his Lord. And this is a classic. This was one of the first ones I ever read on the quiet time about 14 years ago. And I think it is a classic. Very, very motivational, very, very practical. That's the quiet time. These are all available in the bookstore. It's called the quiet time. This one is the devotional diary, and this is where you're getting into the graduate level. Spending consistent time, it gives you a good plan to work by. Now, this one I have not used personally. I know the authors. I think it's an excellent thing. And here's the little blurb on the back. It says, have you ever asked the important question, how can I develop a vital, growing relationship with God? You ever asked that question? It was just asked, wasn't it? Appointment with God stresses the love relationship between God and man, which is available to you in Jesus Christ. And there are helpful guidelines in this little book, and it's called Appointment with God. There are all kinds of good materials out there, folks. However, in conclusion, let me say and remind you of one thing. Proverbs 13:4. Good materials are great, and they're a help. The soul of the sluggard craves or desires and gets nothing. See, even the undisciplined person has the same desires that the disciplined person does. But the soul of the diligent or the disciplined person is made fat. Now that's one overweight problem that we can tolerate, isn't it? To be diligent and to be made fat. And so I'd like to end on that note, that the quiet time is like any other of the spiritual disciplines in the Christian life. That without diligence, without discipline, there will not be success. There will not be growth. There will not be that meaningful contact with the living God. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the time just to reflect on this discipline. And we pray that you'd help each one of us throughout the week to think through on what we've been doing over the last year in this area and to make any of the necessary applications. I pray particularly now for the discussion groups and the discussion group leaders. Lord, that this would be a great time as they discuss this important subject. And Father, that relationships in these groups would be established quickly, where there are fears and anxieties about this week and the people here, where there are feelings of inadequacy. Lord, remove these and cause us to really enjoy Christian fellowship in these discussion groups. In Jesus' name, amen.